Welcome to the Hot Women Rock Radio Show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Welcome and good morning if you are in America, good afternoon if you are in England and Europe, good evening if you are in India and even further east. So last week I was broadcasting to you from the beautiful Mediterranean island of Mallorca, where I was staying with my colleague and sometimes co-author Kay Newton, which was fabulous. We love catching up. And also I got to meet Jack Perez, who is the founder of Cool Life. That's K-U-E-L. We all work in this area of helping women at midlife. We're all worth looking up and seeing what we're up to. Today, I am back in the UK. It is a beautiful day here. And the great thing is I love traveling and I love coming home. And there's nothing better really than being happy to come home and see what your garden's been up to in your absence, and see what's growing and what Mother Nature is doing for you. My guest today is Sarah Utley. We'll be coming to Sarah shortly, but let's have a look at what's been in the media about menopause. It is still a frenzy out there of everybody commentating on everything. In fact, there was an article in the Spectator magazine here in the UK saying, have we hit peak menopause? You know, is it too much now? Everybody's saying something about it, but at least we have broken the subject out of the cupboard. So that's great. So my first item, I'm reaching behind me for an actual newspaper. This was an article in The Guardian at the weekend. Women to be offered a new tablet on the NHS for fibroid symptoms. Thousands of women with fibroids in England and Wales are to be offered a new tablet to ease their symptoms as an alternative to injections or surgery. Often this ends up as a hysterectomy, so it's great news if there's new treatment. Fibroids are non-cancerous growths that develop in or around the womb. About one in three women develop them at some point in their lives. They most often occur in those aged 30 to 50. Symptoms can include prolonged and heavy menstrual bleeding, pelvic pain and pressure and fertility problems. There are limited long-term treatment options. That's why often it ends up in hysterectomy. Once you hit menopause, the drop in the level of estrogen means that fibroids tend to shrink. But some women can't wait that long because they're in pain and discomfort. The National Institute for Health and Care Excellence has recommended that I always get stuck with a word. Who knows how you say this word? Relegulox. I don't know. With estradiol and other stuff. Also called something else I can't pronounce, be offered on the NHS in final draft guidance. About 4,500 women will be eligible. Now, this is really important because women of colour tend to have a higher incidence of fibroids. And that's not just in the UK. America has the same issue. Women of colour tend to get worse treatment from the health system and end up having more hysterectomies with the health problems that can come after that. So it's great news if there is a new treatment for it that doesn't involve surgery. What else is it? I've been global this week. The Times of Israel, and this is a subject I've never talked about before. To save lives, doctors should ask postmenopausal women if they snore. Yes, I do. Some of the women that I've shared rooms with at conferences will be going, yeah, Pat snores. There is a massive phenomenon of undetected sleep apnea among women, according to a peer-reviewed study published in the Journal of Clinical Medicine. It's most common among postmenopausal women induced by hormonal changes. Given that sleep apnea can be a serious sleep disorder in which breathing repeatedly stops and starts, causing illness and in some cases death, this is worrying. Sleep apnea can lead to adverse medical conditions such as cardiovascular events, hypertension, heart attack and stroke. Professor Eli of the Tel Aviv University, who's a dental professor and expert in sleep disturbance, found that 1 in 10 women aged 55 plus who snore develop sleep apnea, many more than among younger women. So if you're asked if you snore, don't be coy. You do. Talk to your doctor about it. The Lab blog poll shows impact of menopause and other health issues on older women's sex lives. Despite stereotypes to the contrary, many older women have active sex lives into their 70s, a new poll shows. But health concerns, including menopause symptoms, often get in the way of intimacy, according to new results from the University of Michigan. Even so, only 44% of women with menopause symptoms have discussed treatment with a healthcare provider. Among those who did receive treatment, 88% felt their symptoms were managed somewhat or very well. Meanwhile, women over 50 who have other health issues or who say their mental or physical health are fair or poor, self-reported, were more likely to report less satisfaction with sex lives. Women over 50 who experience menopause symptoms or other health concerns that interfere with sexual activity should absolutely speak up to their healthcare providers and find out what their options might be. Yes, indeed. Again, don't be coy. We've talked about the snoring thing. You can talk about the sex thing as well. An article from Attitude, which has two D's in it, so it's Attitude, publishes groundbreaking research on menopause and ADHD for women's mental health. In its first-of-a-kind research published by Attitude, half of women with ADHD called memory problems an overwhelming life-altering in their 40s and 50s. 83% reported experiencing some ADHD symptoms for the first time in perimenopause and menopause. The survey of 1,500 women reveals ADHD symptoms are most impactful and life-altering during menopause. The survey responses augment a feature article on ADHD symptoms and treatments by neuropsychologist Jeanette Wasserstein. They plan to use the survey data and participants as a launching pad for the first scientific research to date on menopausal women with ADHD, both diagnosed and undiagnosed. I'm seeing much more now about ADHD and women at menopause. I hope this isn't a medicalization of something that just happens with our hormones, but if it's actually recognizing something that is affecting women, then it's really important. The quality of stories and experiences submitted to Attitude survey respondents were no less staggering or important. Brain fog became unmanageable, wrote one 45-year-old mother who entered perimenopause at age 41. Distractibility increased and my inability to complete work tasks in an appropriate amount of time decreased. I began spending all night working just to keep up. Things that I used to have unconscious strategies to deal with were no longer manageable. So, you know, this can be really serious. Moving on then to the letters page of the Times. Now, I'm sure this was in response to an article by India Knight. It says, menopause is not an illness. India Knight is completely right about menopause mania. Yeah, we're in menopause mania now. Yes, the menopause can be unpleasant, and in rarer cases, debilitating. But in this completely normal phase of life is now being spoke about as a medical condition. It is not. As a senior nurse in general practice, I find more and more of my time taken up with discussing and prescribing for the menopause. HRT can be invaluable and I prescribe it. But thanks to celebrities who encourage all women to believe they're entitled to a completely symptom-free and stress-free life, our time is increasingly taken away from the diagnosis and treatment of potentially serious illnesses. I'm sorry, it's not women's fault. It's not women's fault if the NHS doesn't have the resources that it needs. And saying, well, we can't treat cancer patients and guilting women about it is not the answer. Don't be guilted into not seeking help. If you need help, go and find it. Stop that rant. The Daily Mail, half of women who have been through the menopause kept it secret from their partners. A poll of nearly 2,000 women in the UK. I don't know who all these women are who keep answering polls, but good on them for their patience. Found that a fifth did not tell anyone at first, and 43% felt completely alone. Only 2 in 10 confided in a female relative, and 77% didn't even tell their mothers at first. A majority did not open up to friends, and more than 3/4 didn't consult a health professional, the poll found. But on the positive side, almost half appreciated postmenopausal benefits, such as an end to periods or PMS, and no sanitary products. A further 4 in 10 enjoyed having sex without worrying about contraception. Let's talk about the positives. It's important to our mental health to understand that there are positives. This is a transition and you come to the other side of it. Sarah, what did you make of my news reports?
I find that incredibly interesting, but also it correlates to the data that the Fawcett Society put together for the recent Davina McCall program, Sex, Mind and the Menopause. They surveyed 4,000 women for that program, and women are most likely to say they find sleeping challenging, then brain fog, and then anxiety and depression. And people don't tell other people what they're going through. And one of the other statistics was for people who had taken time off at work because of menopause, 39% of them cited anxiety and depression as the reason on their sick note rather than menopause. So it completely resonates what you're saying, and it can be an incredibly lonely experience for a lot of women, but it doesn't need to be. And that's why you and I do what we do.
Absolutely. And we need to understand that it is a transition and there are positives the other side of it. I think that can be the message that gets lost in the middle. But also this thing of kind of, you know, women are sort of finally putting their heads up and saying, yes, this is a thing. And then it's not always the men who are the ones going, oh, stop talking about it. Sometimes it's other women. Instead of like accepting and helping each other. Now, I know it sells newspapers, it sells magazines. If you can get a different point of view and somebody saying, oh, what's it all about? We should stop talking about it. But I think as women, we've got a duty to help each other, not to go, oh, why are you looking for treatment? And it's your fault we've got HRT shortages. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know about you.
No, I agree. Completely agree.
Yeah, it's not fair. And sometimes, you know, it happens in the workplace as well, that women are afraid to speak up. Perhaps they've got a manager who's a man who's very understanding, that they might have women colleagues who go, oh, we shouldn't talk about it, you know. And it just really annoys me, because I think whatever the issue is, we should say, well, what's going on? How can we help? How can we support? And the other thing I thought was interesting was that we had that bit about women's sex lives during menopause. And then we read about sleep and anxiety and stress. So if you're thinking, oh, well, you know, not wanting sex at this stage of life is just down to the menopause, look at everything else. If you've got somebody who isn't sleeping well, who doesn't feel she can talk about it, who's feeling anxious, got stress at work and at home, it's not exactly the cocktail for having a really active sex life, is it?
I think sex would be the last thing on your mind. Yeah. A good night's sleep and a hot water bottle.
Yeah. A comfy duvet, a good pillow. Yeah. Would all be very good. Not that we're saying that sex isn't a good thing. It's a good thing. It's good for your it's good for your confidence, it's good for your self-esteem, it's good for a whole bunch of stuff. But if you're tired, it's probably very low down on your shopping list. So join us after the break, when I will be talking to Sarah and we'll be talking more about how anxiety can affect you at menopause. See you after the break.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy. And I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
The Hot Women Rock Radio Show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause, where my guest today is Sarah Utley. Sarah is the founder of Momentum, that's without so it's Momentum, where women can access accelerated self-discovery and growth through coaching. Sarah specializes in mind health coaching through perimenopause, exploring issues such as confidence, self-esteem, identity, and purpose. Sarah is passionate about giving a voice to women in work experiencing menopause, supporting organizations to create a culture where conversations about menopause are normalized. Sarah's career has been spent as a professional interim in human resources, running a successful business offering people and culture expertise through periods of reorganization, disruption, and change. Sarah is known for her honesty and empathy, her dislike of office politics. I don't think anybody likes that, although some people indulge in it a lot. Routine and procrastination and her passion for learning and feline friends. Sarah, how many feline friends have you got?
I've only got one, but I aspire to more. One's enough, to be fair. I don't think I could cope with the amount of cat fur.
No, that is the downside of cats, is the continuous cat fur issue. I think I'm still scraping up off the carpet some years after my last cat left us. Anyway, meanwhile, Sarah, tell us a bit about your early career then. Did you go straight into HR?
I left university and I just got any job I could find. And I noticed that HR reported into finance and it wasn't done particularly well. And I was a bit arrogant, and I thought, you know, I could do so much better than that. Why do people always report into finance in these small businesses? So it made me go to night school. I did my CIPD qualification and I wanted to get into HR, and I came up to London to a recruitment fair. I met a lovely guy at Tate & Lyle Sugars in the East End of London. We had a chat. He said, come up, have an interview. And that's how I landed my first job in HR. And for the past 24 years, I have spent my career in human resources. So, and yes.
What do you particularly like about that kind of work?
Well, I do interim. So for the past 16 years, I've been running my own business and I've been doing interim. So I guess it's the variety, and I enjoy project work. I do lots of stuff on change and transformation, org design, restructures, offshoring, outsourcing. It's the opportunity to influence strategy, to work with senior execs, and also support them on how they think and how they show up. And that's something my coaching's really helped with. And I often work with leaders on what's the shadow you want to cast as a leader? What do you want to be known for? And that helps people think more intentionally about their behaviour.
Yeah.
And the traits that they want to develop.
Do you know, my last job in the civil service, I was a director in a big government department, and I'd only been there a few months, and my boss, I can't tell you anything about my boss, I said to him, he said, oh, you won't be having a formal appraisal because you've only been with us 3 months. So I said, that's fine, but I'd really like to know some feedback, how you think I'm doing, because this is a new role for me. And he said, why do you want feedback? I said, because I'd really like to know how you think I'm doing. And he went, oh, okay. Well, you're obviously good with people, but so what? I was a manager.
So what? Oh, my goodness.
That gives you an idea of why I left the civil service. I thought it's important to me that I'm good with people and that I support people in growth and development. And if that isn't valued, what am I doing here? That is ridiculous.
Well, that just typifies the challenges that you have with difficult conversations.
Mm.
So feedback can be quite challenging for a lot of people. But if we struggle on giving feedback, then just imagine how challenging it is for a lot of people to have conversations about the menopause in the workplace, particularly if you're male and you have a team full of women. If it's a challenge to have a difficult conversation, then it's amplified even more when thinking about having a conversation about something so personal and intimate as menopause.
Can you imagine whether I would have had a conversation with him about menopause? Wasn't even a possibility that I would have talked to him about that. So that's why, you know, you do the work you do and I do the work I do to say to men and women in management roles, we need to be able to talk about it and really to listen. To listen to what people have got to say. Anyway, moving on. So why did you get your interest in what happens at perimenopause and menopause?
My own personal experience of perimenopause. So 1 in 100 women experience menopause before the age of 40, and I'm the 1 in 100. I started noticing changes in my mid-30s, and you know, first of all, it was weird periods. So I could go months without a period, and then it would just flip like that, and I would have a period every other week. Well, sometimes I'd only have 48 hours between periods. So that was completely out of whack. And at the same time, I developed a growing sense of unease. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd feel anxious. And I say to my husband, I feel really anxious and I have no idea why. Why am I so anxious? And it played out in work. It was amplified at work. And it played out in front of other people in a social setting at work. So in meetings, if I had to present. I've never been comfortable with speaking in front of huge numbers of people. It's not something I enjoy doing, but I've not had a problem with it. And yet, in my mid-30s, it was like a click of a finger. And I'd go into a meeting and I would start having flight or fight symptoms, really, really aggressive, to the point where I'd have to leave the room and make some excuse. And I would then develop really bad habits and patterns of avoidance, of trying to minimize myself during meetings, of doing anything I could to get out of doing and talking in front of people.
And was there any family history of premature menopause, or was did this come out of the blue?
It came out of the blue. My mum, I think, was late 40s. So the typical age of menopause, 51, that was her experience. So no family history that I'm aware of.
So I think that's worth saying, isn't it? That depending on the statistics you look at, sometimes they say 1 to 3% of women, because other things like medical issues can come into play in it as well. But it can just come out of the blue. No family history, and suddenly you're experiencing symptoms and you're not sure what they are. What eventually took you to see a doctor or a medical practitioner?
I think the anxiety got to a point where I was just beginning to lose confidence in my ability. I was feeling really lonely and detached from life. And the periods were just something I just couldn't cope with. I felt awful all of the time, and I felt very alone because I saw people all around me who I felt were normal and confident and at ease. And I didn't feel that way at all inside. So I reached out to my GP and I said, this is what's happening. I've done some reading. Could I be going through the menopause? And they said, no, you're far too young for that. It's probably just stress and burnout. You know, go and get some cognitive behavioral therapy. And I did. And it was helpful to understand my thinking patterns and my feelings and my behavior. But, you know, it continued. And so I went to seek professional help from a specialist gynecologist. And yeah, I just all kind of came out in the room with her. We talked about it and I started HRT, and it's been game changing really for me.
Yeah. So that's the other thing to point up is that often, and again, I say this every week, I'm not bashing doctors because it's complicated and but often they don't have enough training in the subject. But you know your body better than anybody does. And if you go and seek advice and you're just dismissed, then seek more advice because you know what your body normally feels like and what your brain normally feels like. Now, CBT can be really helpful. And it has been shown in research. I don't know how many thousand women they talked about with that. In research, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, where you look at your thoughts and behavior and how you can alter them, can be really helpful. And you might need more help, particularly if you've gone into early menopause or premature menopause, because you need to protect your bones and protect your health. And it could be that hormone replacement therapy is essential because of the protective quality of it on your bones and on your heart as well. So there's a lot to be said for that. So how many years had you been experiencing symptoms before you actually got the diagnosis?
Probably 3-4 years.
Yeah. And did you have blood tests or saliva tests or?
Blood tests, yeah. Which are not especially accurate. And can fluctuate given what day of the month it is. But yeah, that's how I got my diagnosis.
Yeah.
But I knew, by that point, I'd done loads and loads of reading. And looking back now, and having read very widely on the topic of anxiety, I kind of have a scientific explanation for it. Called the HPA axis dysfunction. And probably that's worth touching on at some point, because I needed to find a scientific explanation for what was happening to me and to name it.
Yeah.
And by naming it, I could understand it more.
Yeah. It's the I'm not going mad effect. You know, because sometimes you think, I am going mad. And then you get an explanation, you go, oh, thank heavens, I'm not going mad. So many women think that they're getting Alzheimer's, and that's really scary. And it's good that you've touched on feeling lonely, because we're still in Mental Health Awareness Month and the theme this year is about loneliness. And we've even touched on it in the media reports, a feeling of loneliness. And if you're not talking about it with anybody and you're frightened and getting stressed by it, then you're more likely to feel lonely. So really important that you've touched on that. Thank you. Right. Join us after the break when we'll be talking more about the solutions if you're feeling anxious at menopause. See you after the break.
Howdy. I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause, where my guest today is Sarah Utley, the founder of Momentum. And you've just been telling us before the break about your experience of early menopause. Now, when you started having those symptoms, had you already done your coaching training, or was this before you did that? So after you'd done coaching, what skills did that give you to help yourself and other women?
What a lovely question. Well, coaching gives the skill of quietness, the ability to become more self-aware and have a safe psychologically safe space to think. And there's something about working with somebody else in that relationship that you build that provides the opportunity to think differently, to examine things that could be challenging, things that are holding you back from achieving your goals. It certainly helped me find quiet time, find time to breathe. The journaling aspect of coaching has enabled me to just almost burp out my thoughts on a daily basis and really examine why I feel the way I do and what I want instead, and to take back some control over how I feel and think. Yeah. And it's given me loads of tools and techniques to show up in a way that I feel confident and, you know, adds to my self-esteem. And I think those are the really important things to build up and to take control back when you're going through menopause, because the spike in cortisol that you experience during menopause can seriously impact how you feel and your confidence levels.
Do you want to say a bit more about that chemically, what's going on at menopause? And before you do, I'm just going to say that as a therapist and coach, I still go for therapy and coaching because I need to say my stuff out loud. Sometimes just saying it out loud is part of the solution, and sometimes it's just having a sounding board to get that information. So there's so many benefits from being able to talk to somebody in a non-judgmental space. Not somebody goes, you know what you should do? You should, you know, and, oh, I had know somebody who did that and they did this. You just want somebody to listen while you say your stuff, who then prompts you to help you to say what your solution is, because your solution is your solution. It's not anybody else's. Excellent. Now I've got that off my chest. Do you want to say more about the chemical changes that are going on?
Yeah, so I mentioned about the HPA axis dysfunction. There's three things involved in that. And it's basically a circuit of communication between the hypothalamus in the brain, the pituitary glands, and the adrenal glands. And when you've got that fluctuation in estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, cortisol spikes. And it runs around that circuit. And basically, it's the stress hormone. And so it can make you feel anxious, it can make you feel depressed, and it really impacts your ability to feel confident. And the interesting thing is the adrenal glands, once the ovaries pack up, your adrenal glands are the main source of hormone production. And so because your adrenal glands are so intimately involved in that HPA axis and cortisol and how you feel, it's really important to take control and to understand how anxiety and stress shows up in me and what I can do. And some practical things.
Let's do it. Let's unpack some of the practical things, because women listening will go, oh my God, I'm experiencing that. What can I do about it?
Well, some very, very practical ones. There's been a lot of theory around pets and your interaction with your pet. The more you smooth a pet, the endorphins are released. So that's the more happy chemical, serotonin, endorphins that you can get from gardening, talking about stuff that obviously causes you stress, so CBT, getting as much daylight, being really mindful of your diet in terms of caffeine and sugar intake. And anything that really makes you happy, exercise is so important as well. And all those things combined just breaks that circuit, along with meditation and more.
I was just going to say, what would you say about meditation? Because that comes up so much. And I think for women can be really important.
Well, meditation is wonderful. I meditate regularly and it helps you catch those negative thoughts and have a choice. And you realize that you're not your thoughts. Thoughts are like clouds. They pass across your mind. It's how you engage with them, your choice about that. So it's very empowering.
That's really important, because I've had so many clients who go, oh, my thoughts are driving me mad. And I say, you know, you don't have to think them, don't you?
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. They're my thoughts. I say, yeah, but your brain is just generating them all of the time. And it's up to you which ones you spend time with. So we have to kind of engage with what thoughts are. They're just random stuff your brain is saying. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? You don't have to spend time with it.
No. I imagine it like a train coming into a station, and I have a choice about whether I step onto the train or whether I stay on the platform. And all my thoughts are on the train, and I can see the door shutting. It goes out the platform, and my thoughts are away because they don't define me.
Yeah,
and I don't have to get on that train and engage with them.
And the other bit of that metaphor is, you're not in control of what trains turn up at the station. You're not. You think you are, but there's a whole other system that is sending the trains to the platform, and you have to go, I didn't want to go to that destination. I won't get on that. And then the next train comes along. It's an excursion. It's going somewhere lovely. Get on it. Spend time on it. So the nature of thought is so important. So in the work that you do, how do you bring this idea of empowerment and the positivity of menopause into the people that you're talking to?
Well, rather than it be something that happens to us, we can have a sense of agency over our experience and feel in control, and then kind of take back some power to thrive. And I work with a lot of women who say they're exhausted, they come with low confidence, they've lost their sense of identity. And midlife is so fascinating because women wear so many different hats, and confidence is often measured by other people's judgment of what good is. So are you a good mom? Are you a good wife? Are you good at work? And that if you attach your identity to that, then it naturally knocks your self-confidence. And so during coaching, we quieten down the mind and we explore judgment and drop judgment of self. And it can be really cathartic when you stop judging yourself and stop caring about how others judge you. And I think the experience of menopause and what it brings, the exhaustion, the extreme fatigue, it doesn't give you the space to care so much about what other people think. And it gives you the opportunity to be in control of your own destiny going forward and your own identity. I work with women who look at photographs of themselves in the past and say, I don't recognize that person anymore. And I say, well, what person do you want to be in the future? And it's about refinding your passion and your purpose and your identity by quietening the mind down, by dropping the judgment, by thinking about how we sabotage in our own minds.
Mm.
And breaking that down, you can have agency over the choices that you make.
Really important. And I think this is a benefit of menopause that frequently isn't discussed, is the other side of it is how many less you give about anything. Yeah. You know, you get to a stage where somebody says, oh, I wouldn't have worn that. Okay, you don't wear it. I'm wearing it. You know, how have you had that hairstyle? Don't care. Thought I'd do it. I'm enjoying it. You know, there's so many things that suddenly you really care so much less about, and because they're not important, and often because they're other people's stuff. I think as you get older, you realize it's not your stuff, it's somebody else's. When I was much younger, somebody said to me, what other people think about you isn't your business. And I thought, well, that's not true. Of course it's my business. It's not my business. It's a real liberation when you realize that, isn't it?
Indeed. Massive liberation.
Because it isn't your business. They've come to their conclusion from little bits that they know about you. And they've made a judgment. That's their business. It's not your business. So how do you create the right atmosphere for those conversations about menopause, either helping women to be good allies or in the workplace being a good ally? What are the essential ingredients?
Oh, golly. Being really empathetic. And you show your empathy through listening skills. Mm. As you said, coaching and any conversation around menopause it requires great listening skills and space, non-judgmental space, and empowering the person you're speaking to make the decisions for themselves. There's nothing worse than you offering suggestions, because they're your suggestions. They're not the person that you're speaking to, suggestions. And so it's about shaking off your views and creating an opportunity for someone to bring their true authentic selves and stories without fear of repercussions, without fear of judgment, and listen to them and ask those questions that enable them to think for themselves. And take the control back that they need.
Yeah, so important that as a coach, you're giving somebody control. You're not taking it from them. And also, it's the ability to point people to resources as well in the workplace, I think. You know, I think some managers are frightened that they need to know everything there is to know about menopause in order to have the conversation. No, you don't. No.
No.
Let that go. That's not a problem. But in the workplace, if you know where resources are and the person you're talking to has no idea where to look for help, then pointing them towards resources is really important, whether it's, you know, occupational health, or there's an intranet site, or there's fact sheets, or, you know, if this person really needs some help, you're just pointing them in that direction and letting them find it. This is all great advice, Sarah. Amazingly, we're coming up to the last quarter of the show. We'll see you after the break for more amazing advice from Sarah Utley. See you after the break.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. There's lots we can do to empower women leaders, and we have empowering women leaders to talk to us. Sarah, we started talking about some of the things that women can do and how to have those conversations in the workplace and outside the workplace as well. So what's the one thing women can do to improve their lives? What tools can they use?
Well, I'm a firm believer that you are what you focus your attention on. And so if you want more positivity in your life, by focusing on that, you will be able to have more positivity. And it relates back to something called your reticular activating system, the RAS. It's a bundle of nerves at our brainstem that filter out unnecessary information so the important data gets through. It basically takes what you focus on and then creates a filter for it. So if you learn a new word, it's amazing how many times you then hear that word. Or if you notice a new car and then you see them everywhere. RAS works in the same way. You're very unconscious that it's happening, but it seeks information to validate your beliefs. So if you tell yourself you're not confident at giving presentations, you won't be confident at giving presentations. But if you believe that you are, then the RAS will find information in your life to confirm that you are positive, you are good at giving a presentation. And so, you know, that influences your actions. So a tool and a tip is think of a goal or a situation that you want to influence. So for example, I'd like to be more confident talking in front of 500 people. And think about then an experience or a result that you want to reach in regards to that goal. And then create a mental movie of how you picture that goal, ideally turning out, and then really embellish that movie. Notice the sounds, notice what conversations are going on, visualize in minute detail. You stood there in front of an audience of 500 people, and then replay it often in your head. It takes time to embed that, but it's really quite powerful if you create a mental movie of you being successful at doing something that you're really passionate about.
Yeah, and you know, sports people use that a lot when they're learning to do something new as a golfer, a new swing, as a tennis player, a new serve or return. They picture themselves doing it brilliantly a lot of times before they get out on court to do it, because when you picture it in your head, you can be 100% successful. If you get out and do it, you might not always be successful and you might take bad conclusions from what you've done. So yeah, this is so important. Visualize things going really well and the crowd cheering, and it will help that to actually happen. What else can they do?
Well, something that I found really useful is Amy Cuddy's power pose.
Yes.
So I say to myself, what would Superwoman do?
Yeah.
And I actually stand like Usain Bolt. So I have a combination of Amy Cuddy as Superwoman and Usain Bolt. But there's something really empowering about standing there with your arms up as if you're crossing that victory line. I stand there for 2 minutes, and I do this when I'm at work. If I go into an office, in my client office, and I'm feeling a bit nervous, I will go to the toilet and I will set my timer and I will do that in the toilet for 2 minutes. Mm. Nobody can see me, but the endorphins that it releases, the energy and the passion and power that you get, really worth trying and repeating that again. Another thing I work on.
I mean, if anybody watches, you know, if the people who are watching it on Facebook always see me dancing, I'm releasing lots of good hormones into my system. I'm getting it all going because, you know, have a little dance, get your body moving and change your mood, change your body, change your mood. Right, what else? What else can we wring out of you?
Well, something in positive psychology that I use a lot is building on your strengths. So much easier to develop a strength than it is to try and develop something you're not good at.
Yeah.
So really amplify your strengths. So I work with clients on looking at building a confidence wall. What are your values? So we want to ground your confidence in your values so that you're being really authentic and you can gain purpose and meaning to what you do. And then build the confidence wall. What are your achievements? What are your attributes? What do you hear people say about you? What feedback have you got? What are you really good at? And you can build that map and actually have it on your wall. So if you have a wobble, you know, look at that before a meeting and say, yeah, do you know what? I'm really brilliant. Look at all the things I've done in my life that have got me to this point. And others' perceptions are reality. And therefore, if other people perceive you to be confident and in control, you are.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's so important. Have you got another one for us?
I would say breath work is really important as well. Learning to breathe. Mm. We are the biggest group of mouth breathers. I loved your piece earlier about snoring. Our society are the most congested people in this day and age than we've ever been. We do not breathe very well. And just breathing constantly through your nose can be so powerful and beneficial. And slowing your breathing down, breathing into your diaphragm and just slowing the heart rate down can be really, really cathartic in the moment and help you prepare for a big event in advance as well.
So when you talk about women having more self-compassion, is it doing this kind of thing? Is that what you mean, that we're like spending some time to use these kind of tools?
I think self-compassion is about dropping the judgment more than anything and being kind to yourself. And because women live very busy lives. There's lots of demands. There's lots of pressures. You're going through this huge internal hormonal change. And we're the worst critics of ourselves. And being kind to yourself, giving yourself space to think and time to indulge and to be kind to yourself and to drop the judgment is really what I try to empower people I work with.
Yeah, I think that's really important. We talk about self-care, and even that can be misinterpreted, like, oh, I need to go to a spa or something. Well, you can if you like, but self-care is also about eating properly, exercising, taking time to breathe, seeing a friend, you know, all the things that help with our mental wellness, because mental wellness is where we want to be. And the self-compassion side of it is really so important, not looking in the mirror and telling yourself you can see all your lines. It's like, yeah, I'm still here, I've got another day. I think that's
the lines on your face shows your history and shows the life, that the rich, fruitful life that you've led. So I like a lined face. It's got far more personality.
Sarah, thank you for everything you've shared with us. If people want to find out more about you, where do they go?
They can go to my website, www.momentumpeople.com. I am offering a 30-minute discovery call with myself for free. Reach out. Happy to have a conversation with anybody about coaching or menopause.
Well, we've had so many tips from you. Thank you. So if you've been listening, go back, listen again, because there's a lot of richness in this conversation just about why you might feel anxious and then how to support your mental health, because mental wellness is a thing that can suffer at menopause. It's not your fault. There's no judgment. It is just about how the chemicals in your body are working and the fact that levels of estrogen affect brain function and they affect how we experience emotions. So it's a thing, okay? Don't let anybody tell you you should feel ashamed about it. No. We're empowering ourselves and saying, we'll look after ourselves. Thank you very much. So thank you for all of that, Sarah. Stay tuned to talkradio.nyc, where our next program is Dismantle Racism with the fabulous Reverend Dr. TLC. Today, she's talking about Manifest Destiny of Racism with her guest, Charles L. Robinson. They're going to discuss the origins of racism. And I think with everything that went on in America, in Buffalo at the weekend, that's a really important conversation. If you've missed any of the conversations here on Hot Women Rock, you can always go to talkradio.nyc/Hot Women Rock. My guest next week is Rachel Lancaster. We're going to have a great conversation. I know it's going to be fun. So do join us for that. And if you need any help with your menopause, patduckworth.com. You can find out how to contact me and I will be very happy to talk to you. Have a brilliant week. I'll still be in the UK again next week. I will see you here. But otherwise, look after your mental health. Be compassionate. See you next week.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.